Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
As we were kind of driving through this torrential rain, our original route that we were going to come, we couldn't get through one of the overpass areas. The little thing was all flooded, and there was a cop car sitting there, and some stalled vehicle passed it. And so as we're driving up, I'm thinking, I wonder if anybody's actually going to come. This is just terrible weather. And look at you guys. Seriously, this is, you are just dedicated. We love that about you, about this fellowship, about our partnership with you. We just love how the Lord has blessed and built himself into your lives over the years. And so today's message and kind of time that we spend is really more of a reminder. We're going to talk about thankfulness. We're going to talk about gratitude. I hate that we only set one. I love that we do have one holiday. It's a decidedly American thing. You know, the world doesn't have Thanksgiving. America does. It's an American holiday. And it's a decidedly important thing to stop and take a day to give thanks. But really, for the believer, every day is a Thanksgiving kind of day. So we want to talk about that today. But before we do, we want to play a little bit of a game and kind of give you an excuse to win candy. So nobody likes that, of course.
And we start the day out with a test.
Ooh.
So, and there's no wrong answers.
Getting your
so.
Test, by the way.
This is from a 1950 book. It was a book of games, and it's was published in 1950. So some of you were around in 1950. I was not.
A
couple years later.
She's officially on Medicare. Just
65 on there. So. But this is from a 1950 book. But let's see if you remember. Back in the day when advertisements, when people paid attention to advertisements, they did not fast forward through them. Or they were on billboards, or they were on the product themselves. Interestingly enough, some of them have stayed the same. But some of them, maybe only a few of you will know. So we're going to try to keep track of which table gets the answer first. And I'm going to not be judge. I don't want to do that. So maybe we'll let someone else be to see who. Some of them you will all get and probably at the same time. So I think so. And some of them you will all get and some of them you may none of you get. So we'll see on there. But here are the advertisements. The teacher said to raise your hand. But it is, or maybe if you know, raise your hand. Maybe we'll do it the most. Of course, we've got a differential of numbers at the table, but. It's a table prize, yes, so you're working together. Here's the one you'll all know because I think it still is the same. This was the advertisement. It floats. Ivory soap, that's it on there. Now this one's a little harder. Ask the man who owns one. That was the No, but close. Packard. We could say all the other ones for a while. This is from a 1950 book on there. Packard. The flavor lasts. The flavor lasts. No? Wrigley's is correct on there. You press the button, it does the rest. You press the button, it does the rest. That is Kodak. Remember the days when we had to carry a camera? On there. This one you should know. When it rains, it pours. You go ahead and call on them. Which kind of salt? Morton salt, that's it on there. The Breakfast of Champions. Ooh. Wheaties it is. Keep that schoolgirl complexion. No? Ding, ding, ding. Palm Olive on there. Palm Olive. Who knew on that? All right. The candy with a hole. That's it. Good to the last drop. That's all you. I'm not even looking. Maxwell House. Yep. Has the strength of Gibraltar. Gibraltar. That's it. Prudential Insurance. Yes. Cover the Earth. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now, this is from years ago. Banishes Tattletale Gray. Nope. Nope. Believe it or not, it is Fell's Naphtha soap, which they're still making. Walmart carries it, but I didn't know it did anything with the gray, so evidently they let that off. That's it. That's it. That is it. That is it. All right. hasn't scratched yet. That's it. I should have gotten that he knows that that was that. And for those of you who don't know, that's cleanser, right? Cleanser on there. Yeah. Yep. The pause that refreshes. Coca-Cola. Yep. Coca-Cola. This one you will all get. 57 varieties. That was, yeah, that was everybody on there. Interesting, they're still using that one on there. Now here's another hard one to end. Chases Dirt. Yes! Howie knew that! Old Dutch cleanser on there. He not only knows that, but he knows his differential.
That is great.
And if you need any cleaning done, we know who to ask right there.
Old Dutch. There you go. Just ask Old Dutch. We got that covered. That is great. Well, listen, thankfulness is kind of the subject of the day today, and that's really what we want to kind of talk about. I want to read something to you that is usually preached on and read somewhere in the Thanksgiving season, but it's not really a part of a Thanksgiving message or a Thanksgiving epistle. It's from the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, where Paul is writing to his friends in Thessalonica, and it's a part of a series of instructions. It's kind of he's given instructions to this one, that one, this group, that group, and then he finally gives instructions to everybody. So this applies to, if he were a Southerner, he would say all y'all. So all y'all, yeah. And so here's the all y'all instruction of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and starting with verse 16. It says, be joyful always. How many of you know that's a bit of an instruction? That's a bit of a challenge? If you could do that, that would probably be helpful for you. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Again, a bit of a challenge, a bit of an instruction. But then he says, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we always make the big tie-in that being thankful to God in all your circumstances is the will of God for you in Christ. But probably being joyful all the time is the will of God for you in Christ. And praying continually is probably the will of God for you in Christ. And so this business of thankfulness is, it's incredibly important. Do you know that one of the earliest things that led the nation into, or the world, in fact, into sin and into judgment was that when they knew themselves as the creation of God, this is in Romans 1, it says they refused to be thankful. They refused to be grateful for God's goodness to them. And once they refused gratitude, once they refused thankfulness, it kind of opened the door and the gateway to every other kind of wickedness and evil and selfishness. And so I think there's something true about that. In fact, when it talks about that's the first days of sin, but in the last days, among the things that the scriptures kind of instruct us that people are going to be, one of them is unthankful. Unthankful, ungrateful people. Thank God for his mercies. Thank God for who he is. Thank God that we have a reason to give thanks. We always have an opportunity to give thanks. In fact, it says here in all circumstances, and that doesn't mean you say, oh, I'm so thankful that the car got, you know, a tree fell in the car. I am so grateful that that I have no transportation today. It isn't saying it that way. I'm thankful for all the circumstances. I'm thankful in all of those circumstances. You get that? It's because it happens to me, but what happens to me doesn't have to happen in me. How I choose to respond, how I choose to react, how I choose to receive the things that life kind of deals out. That's where this thankfulness thing comes in. That's where this joyfulness thing comes in. That's where this prayerfulness thing comes in. And so when we pray, we need to pray with thankfulness. We need to pray with joy in our hearts before the Lord. Because thankfulness is an incredibly, I think, a wonderful part. It's if it's a gateway to wickedness and sin to be unthankful, then I'm going to suppose it's probably a gateway. Well, in fact, doesn't it say that? Enter into his gates with... Enter into his gates. The first place, the first entry point, the thing that opens you to all the rest of the blessings of the Lord is thankfulness. Thankfulness. Thankfulness opens the door to increased vision in your life. I was reading somewhere about Matthew Henry. How many of you have ever heard of Matthew Henry? Have a Matthew Henry commentary somewhere in the house or something written by him? Matthew Henry is from the olden days, older than us. And the olden days, yeah, we think ours are old. His were really old. And they would ride around on horses and they would get a kind of circuit riding preachers and a variety of kind of things. One day he had his wallet stolen. He had his wallet taken away, and when he arrived late at the meeting, they were quizzing him about what had happened because he was all disheveled, and he told them that he had his wallet stolen, and everybody in the house was just, oh, this is horrendous, and blah, blah, blah. And then the unbelieving crowd would jump up and say, how could the Lord let that happen to you? And Matthew Henry stills the crowd, and he basically, this is what he said, and it's a famous quote that's come down for years. He said, no, stop. Let me tell you how I'm responding. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. And here's what he said specifically. I'm thankful that this man never robbed me before. I've made this journey so many different times, and I've never been robbed before. So I'm thankful that he never robbed me before. I'm also thankful that although he took my wallet, he didn't get much. Although he took my wallet, he didn't get much, and he didn't take my life. I love this. He took all that I had, but he didn't take much. And although he took my wallet, he did not take my life. So I'm grateful. I'm thankful. And then finally he said, I'm finally thankful that it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Thankful that the Lord has put something in my life that this would be a surprise. This isn't the way it works. This isn't how I live my life. I think there's always room for us to be grateful and to be thankful. I think it opens the door to so many things. There are stories about the drama on the Oregon Trail that are just, they're pretty amazing. They're, you know, Thanksgiving, the first Thanksgiving is kind of an amazing thing. Because it was after this brutal, bizarre, awful, horrid winter and just so many people have been lost and so many natural disasters and so much difficulty in adjusting to life in this new world. And, you know, it was like, discouragement was everywhere. And the idea of just packing up and going home. Home was still back there. It wasn't here. And so there was that attitude of ingratitude that was beginning to develop. And someone said, no, let's be thankful. Let's be grateful. We're the ones who've survived the winter. We know what we've lost, but let's count up what we have. There's an old song for us sometime when we pull them out. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. I promise you, you won't get to about 5 or 6 till you start smiling, until your heart starts to feel lighter. Why? Because thankfulness opens the door to increased vision. When you begin to be thankful for something, you start to see it differently. You start to see things differently. Thankfulness not only opens the door to an increased vision, thankfulness opens the door to more thankfulness. It does. Have you ever figured, well, I'm just gonna thank God for this. I'm just gonna say, thank you, Lord. And then all of a sudden you can think of 10 reasons why you really should thank the Lord. You know, my hair's not right. Thank God I have hair. Really? You know, I got an ache in my such and so. I'm so thankful I got a such and so. And it still works. And it still feels enough that I can feel pain in my such and so. You can fill in the blanks on those such and so kind of things. But it's an interesting thing because to me, I think in pictures, and so the picture that I have is kind of like an archaeological dig. You've seen them where, and in various parts of the world. I would love to get a license to do that in Israel somewhere, just in the Holy Land. Because there have been so many conquerings of the last group and then, you know, burn everything down and rebuild over top of it. So that if you could dig down, if you could uncover the rubble over some of these things, each thing that you uncover and you pull out leads to something more. There's some new level, some new strata, some new layer of discovery in these things. That's what thankfulness does. Thankfulness opens the door to more thankfulness. Gratitude becomes an attitude. And it brings along with it so many other blessings. Chris is going to tell you about a couple of those.
I think it's one of the most elusive things or one of the most sought after things to have a thankful spirit. We all want that. We all want that to be said of us, but sometimes it's kind of an elusive thing, even for the most seasoned Christian. And that's code word for the oldest amongst us on there. No matter how much we know this word and we know we should, sometimes it's just the elusive thing that's right beyond our grasp to have a thankful spirit. But it should be at the top of our spiritual to-do list every single day. I want to be thankful. Before my feet swing out of the bed, can I think of 5 things that I'm thankful for to get the day started in that way rather than, oh, I have to do this and I have to do that and this doesn't work and this... And then you look in the mirror and it's like, who put that 65-year-old woman in the mirror? But if we can start our day, get in the habit of putting that on our spiritual to-do list before we fall asleep at night, not what do I have to do tomorrow? Oh, yeah, and this has happened and this has happened and this child and this grandchild and this done and this on and on. What if we can just rehearse 5 things I'm thankful for? What if we could make that a habit in our lives? I think we all know and love the verse in Philippians chapter 4 that says, the peace of God, which passes understanding, will take us. We all love that, something we aspire to. We all know that one by heart. But the verse that comes before that is another verse that we know. But sometimes I don't think we remember that it comes in succession on there. And that is in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And The verse starts with, "And the peace of God, which passes understanding."
We'll keep your heart
Thanksgiving, mind. Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving, peace, Thanksgiving, peace. Rex said, if you're thankful, other things follow. Which of us would not love to have more peace in our heart? Thanksgiving, peace, Philippians 4, verse 6, verse 7. Let's not forget to put those in order. And then verse 8 states this, whatsoever things are, think on these things. Yes. You know, you corral your mind. The peace of God is certainly going to come on you, but when you start out with thanksgiving, what is added to you is peace. And that is a wonderful thing that we are all looking for sure. Hallelujah. Fix your heart on these things then, that one of which is thankfulness. Sometimes, as Rex said, it isn't that you, what you're given, it isn't that you are thankful for that. But maybe there's more to the rest of the story. Some of you remember Paul Harvey and the rest of the story. There's a story that I love, and I don't think it is Paul Harvey, but it is of a woman who was given a birthday gift by her elderly aunt, and she received a purse. It was in the mail. And she opened it and was like, oh, not my style, not one I would like. The tags are still on it. I think I'll take it back. Then I can get something that I want. On there. So she did that. She went to the store. She returned it. She got it exchanged for something else. A couple days later, her aunt called her and said, did you get the money that I sent you? She thought, ooh, here's a dilemma. She's a little older. Do I tell her that she sent me a purse, or should I just go along with it, or what should I do? On there, and she thought, oh, I better be honest on that. And she said, oh, no, I didn't get any money. You sent me a purse. And the aunt said, no. In the zipper pocket, there were five $100 bills in there. Well, the lady could not hang up the phone fast enough to get back to the store to see if she could buy that purse back again. When she got to the store, it was no longer there. But what a story. Yeah. Of sometimes what we are given, even we say by God or what comes our way or whatever, and we don't take time to know. I don't have any right to say, I don't want this. Take it back. Take it back. I don't want it. I want to exchange this for something else. This is not how I thought my life was going to end up. But sometimes in the zipper pocket, there's a blessing in there.
Hallelujah.
That you can find and that God has for you. So don't be so quick to say, well, I don't want it. This isn't how my life turned out. In everything.
Yes.
Give thanks.
Yes.
On there, because we don't know what God has for us.
Hallelujah. This is the reality. Amen. Girl can tell a story, can't she? She's beautiful. Thankfulness opens the door to increased vision. Thankfulness opens the door to increased thankfulness. And thankfulness also opens the door to an increased opportunity to witness. Love this. I love this truth because it says in 1 Peter chapter 3:15 that we should always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us about what? About the hope that is in you, about this something that's going on inside of your heart that makes you grateful and thankful and joyful and peaceful. Something that puts you in a different place than everybody else. It's an interesting thing because when I look at scriptures like that, I think, I wonder what people would run up and ask some of us about. If they would run up to you more often than not and go, are you okay? That's probably not good. Hello? Are you in pain? That's probably not good. Your joy probably isn't showing. This scripture in Peter supposes that because we're thankful, because we're grateful, because we're filled with joy and grace and peace and life and passion from the Lord, that someone somewhere is going to run up and ask us, what are you doing? And at our age, maybe it's like, what kind of vitamins? What? Tell me about your diet. What are you? You found that Dutch's stuff somewhere. or naphtha soap or whatever it is. And they're looking for a reason. Here's the reason. We have connection with God. We live thankful lives. We live grateful lives. You see, everybody has a story to tell, but some people don't want to hear your story because they're afraid it's going to be a sad one. You know, some people you just don't even want to ask, how are you? For fear they might tell you. Because you can pretty much see from the outside how they think they are. Don't say, how are you? Lest they tell you. But when people have joy and that, don't you think? Honestly, don't you? Have you ever seen someone that looks like they're having such a good time that you want to find out what they're doing? Where did they get that? What's the secret to that sort of thing? That's really at the core of what this talks about. And I really do believe that thankfulness opens the gateway to this kind of witness, this kind of opportunity, because it opens the gateway to this joy. It opens the gateway to this peace that passes understanding. That just doesn't make sense. You're as old as I am. You're as poor as I am. You're as hungry as I am. Whatever. Pick the thing that you want to put in there. You're as disregarded by society as I am. And yet, you have joy. You have grace. You have peace. You have this thankful heart. It's thankfulness that really sets the table for us. It's thankfulness that really opens the door for these things. And so we want them to ask us about the right things. I want to share one story. Let me share a quote first, and then I want to share a story with you. General Douglas MacArthur, some of you remember Douglas MacArthur, on his 75th birthday, he made this thought-packed observation of age. Here's what he said. Youth is not entirely a time of life. It's instead a state of mind. It is not wholly a matter of ripe cheeks, red lips, or supple knees. It is a temper of the will, a quality of the imagination, a vigor of the emotions. I love the phrase, a vigor of the emotions. Nobody grows old, said MacArthur, by merely living a certain number of years. People grow old by deserting their ideals. You are as young as your faith and as old as your doubt. You're as young as your self-confidence and as old as your fear. You're as young as your hope and as old as your despair. In the central place of every heart, he goes on to say, there is a recording chamber. So long as it receives a message of beauty and hope and cheer and thankfulness and courage, so long are you young. But when the wires are down and your heart is covered with a snow of pessimism and the ice of cynicism, then and only then, you have grown old. It's a great quote, isn't it? It's a great lesson. And that's a great kind of lead in, I think, to the story. How many of you have ever heard of the name Corey Ten Boom? Corey and Betsy. And the book, The Hiding Place. Yeah. It's for those who don't know, you could Google or look it up. And actually, I would suggest get The Hiding Place. It probably still is in print somewhere in some bookstore, some online site. But a Dutch woman who were in the days of the war, they were sheltering Jews. They were sheltering people from persecution and destruction, and so they were treated like they were treating the Jews in World War II. And then so they just took them off and sent them to a concentration camp in Ravensbrück, and they were placed in what they called the dorm, the big room. They called it. It was the affectionate name at Ravensbrück was the dorm. Because all the new people they just threw in there en masse. And the place was awful. It was these rock hard rack beds and fleas everywhere. Everywhere you would look, there were crawling lice and fleas and creatures in every place. They just threw them into this room and these girls, these women, young women at the time, Corey and her sister Betsy, they had a Bible with them. They were allowed to have a Bible. In fact, it was because of the haste to get them in there that they were allowed to have the Bible. And they were put in there as sisters, which was sort of an unusual thing. And so on the very first day, they were reading the scriptures together. These two, as believing people, were reading the scriptures together. And they were reading about, in everything, give thanks. In every circumstance of life, be thankful. And that's Betsy just piped up. She said, this is our answer, Corey. This is our answer. We can't change the situation. But in the situation, let's give thanks. And Corey, being a little slow on the uptake, said, what are we going to be thankful for? And she said, well, we should be thankful that we're still alive. And so Corey reluctantly went, all right, thank you, I'm still alive. And then she said, we should be thankful for the fact that they let us be together, that we're sisters, and they typically separate family members, and they've let us be together. And Corey brightened up a little bit, thinking, well, I do love my sister. And so, yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that Betsy and I are together in this. And then, you know, she said, now, I told you thankfulness opens the door to more thankfulness. Betsy was on a roll. And so Betsy said, you know what? Thank the Lord, we have a Bible. We have a Bible. We can study the Word together. Most of the people in here don't know it. And so thank God we have a Bible. And you know what? Thank God this place is so overcrowded. Thank God they've stuffed more women in here than there are bunks. Because we can bless and serve and seek to save all the other women that God has put in here with us. And by now, Corey's got sort of standing straight going, yes, thank God. We are going to be evangelists for Jesus in this place. And then finally, Betsy piped up, and thank God for the fleas. Thank God for the fleas. And Corey stomped their foot. This is a cute to hear her tell the story. Stomped their foot and said, no. I refuse to thank God for the fleas. I'm just not going to do it. All the other things, yes, but those fleas. And this went on for some period of time because Betsy kind of made it a crusade to get her to thank God for the fleas. And she kind of dug in her heels to say, no way I'm thanking God for the fleas. Until finally, it's probably about a month in, maybe even 6 weeks into their stay in this cruel camp, Betsy just was lit up more than usual. And when she got reunited, they worked them through the days at these workhouses. And when they would come back in the evening, then they would have a chance to share. And they would have their Bible studies, and they would share the faith. And they literally led scads of women to the faith of Jesus Christ in this concentration camp and in this time of suffering. But she came back in, and Betsy was saying, I've discovered it. I know why you need to thank God for the fleas. And Corey said, all right, tell me. And she said, I overheard a conversation today. There was this big thing going on, and they wanted to find out what was happening in the dorm. And so one of them ordered the guards to come in, and I heard the guards flat refuse to come in. And the reason they wouldn't come in was the fleas. The reason they've left us alone to have a Bible study, to lead women to the faith of Christ, the reason they haven't come in to assault us physically and take advantage of us is because of the fleas. Thank God for the fleas. Amen. I apologize. I can't tell the story nearly as well as she did. But I think we have every reason to be thankful in all our circumstances. Be thankful to the Lord. Be grateful to the Lord. Thank God for his blessing. Can we just be, as we sort of pray here in the close of this bit, and before I turn it back to Pastor Steve, just let me just point at a table, and anybody at that table can just pipe up something I'm thankful for. Thank God for. Okay, just fill in the blank. You don't have to say the whole sentence, but just the fill in the blank. Thank God for good health, salvation, family, umbrellas. Yes, yes. Thank God for a Christian heritage. Thank God for the Holy Spirit's presence. Thank God for a home to live in. Thank God for our lives. Thank God, yeah, godly wife. He that finds a good wife finds a good thing. Actually, it says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. She didn't have to be good. All the women ought to say, amen. That's true. Can we just kind of slip our hands in the air just a little bit? It's a gratitude attitude. Thank you, God, for, thank you for who you are, for how you are, for that you are in everything, in every circumstance of life. The key to us being joyful always and always praying and being in dialogue with you and being just filled with this peace that passes understanding. The key to all of that is our thankful heart, our thankful, grateful attitude. And we just say yes, 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 and amen. In everything, Lord God, we are grateful. We are thankful. We want to have in our minds just thoughts and in our heads and in our hearts as we lay our heads on the pillow at night, as Chris challenged us, that we are thankful and grateful. We wake in the morning thankful, grateful. We move throughout the day thankful, grateful. And we want to be those witnesses. We want to open the door to share the faith of Christ with other people. We want to open the door to more thankfulness in our lives. We want to open the door to greater vision in our lives. We're thankful we're a part of this church body and this group of beloved friends in this fellowship. We're thankful for Pastor Steve and his leadership. We're thankful for Pastor Doug. We're thankful, Lord God, for all of the staff members, for Brian and Cindy. We pray blessing, blessing, blessing over our continued walk with you. And above everything else, Lord, let us be in the middle of a world that you said would be increasingly unthankful. Let us be the antithesis to that. Let us be the thankful people. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.